I'm ready now, see? I mean, yeah, we can go anytime you like. Oh, hello there. This is episode 58 of the Van Hemlock Podcast, Cheap Seats.
Again,
and hello.
Welcome to another show.
Yes,
I say that every week. I need to think of a better.
You need a snappier opening catchphrase. You see, something like my hello there, and then the da 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 episode, whatever.
You're such a pro.
I know. That's it. Yes, it's the difference between you and me. You see.
Okay. Well, welcome to our show where we've got another show of news and also something new, which
yes.
We'll cover when we get to the new bit.
Get to that shortly.
Yes. Right. Been a busy news week.
Gosh, it all went a little crazy last week, didn't it?
Stuff happened.
I know, and kept happening, and it all got I got a bit shell shocked by it all, to be honest.
Yes.
So I just ended up curled up in a fetal ball by about Tuesday, and haven't emerged from under my desk until today. So hopefully you've been keeping your finger.
How
on the
was
bus.
That different than any other?
Okay. Go on then. What you got?
First up, EA have been meddling.
Oh, boo hiss EA. We don't like EA, do we? I don't know.
EA do some good stuff.
But they're also a bit of a monolithic OCP-style corporation.
Some people say so, yes. But they've fired Mark Jacobs.
Right. Is it actually fired?
It looks like he was told his services were no longer required.
Right, fair enough.
They've moved EA have moved Mythic and BioWare into a new group, which is their MMO and RPG group, and put a guy from BioWare in charge.
Right, so a sort of merger in all but name, really.
No, not
it?
At all. No, no. Everyone reported it as a merger, but all they've done is they've rejigged their internal studios, put two of them in the same group, and put one from one company in charge of both of them at a higher level, and fired the annoying one from Mythic that they didn't like because he kept saying stuff that wasn't the truth.
He was quite outspoken, I think, in his time at Mythic in a number of projects.
He was very outspoken, and quite often he was right.
Well, yeah, but then you don't always want somebody at what? I'd just like to explain at the moment here. We seem to be, for some reason unbeknown to myself, We're watching the Ustream live limited edition Shuttler playing World of Warcraft, and he seems to be in Orgrimmar at the moment. And there's somebody who's written
PK. So, oh, it's a web address.
It's a gold spammer's web address, or they're written in dropped items on the floor in Orgrimmar. Fantastic.
Is it corpses?
Anyway,
can you drop items in web?
I don't know. It might be corpses. You can't drop items.
It must be corpses. That's impressive.
Takes some work.
I will tell him it's impressive.
Anyway.
Yes, this is one of the world's best radio items.
Back to the news, yes.
And so from now on, there's this one big MMO group, which has, of course, Dark Age of Camelot, Warhammer Online, Ultima, and Star Wars, the slightly older Republic.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, if I were an uninformed pundit in the peanut gallery, I'd say that this was all about EA basically giving BioWare everything they need to make the Old Republic a success, including access to an existing MMO company with some experience of the backbone and the development of server architecture, etc., which BioWare, for all their glowing high points, probably don't have at present.
It makes an awful, awful lot of sense if they can pool resources between the two companies.
Yeah, absolutely. Make Mythic more easily available to BioWare as needed
and
for the Old Republic. Yeah. Well, perhaps.
And having one guy...
Warhammer will get something out of this too.
I think they will. And having one guy at the top who can coordinate between them and also defend MMOs to the powers that be who won't understand them.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a brilliant thing.
Yeah, well, perhaps not for all concerned. So,
okay,
any word about what Mark Jacobs?
Well,
it's too early to say.
He started blogging again and is doing a series of blog posts outing all the really nice people he's worked with over the years.
Yeah, I've seen snippets of these posts here and there. And
he started off going off at one saying how lovely Games Workshop are.
Well, yeah, he seems to be approaching it all in a very professional manner. There's no mud slinging there, you know, and he said he's not going to be slinging mud. This isn't the place to come to find that kind of retaliation, I suppose, so that's good.
Yeah, I don't know what he'll do next, but
well, watch that space.
Wish him all the luck, because he's one of the more colourful people, and without people like him, we wouldn't have things to talk about.
Well, quite.
Next.
Mm-hmm.
6 years.
6 years. Hurrah! Yes. 6 years. Well, done.
What story will this be? Something having survived 6 years?
Planet Side?
No. Well, actually, no, the date's Planet Side. No. Two anniversaries.
It's Second Life, isn't it?
And?
And I don't know the other one.
Galaxies.
Star Wars Galaxies.
Star Wars Galaxies and Second Life have hit 6 years.
The thing with Second Life is it was bumbling along for a good year or two before the big media blow up. Woo, look at this virtual world thing happened. So it is actually older than most people think, which may account somewhat for its graphical quality. But and Star Wars Galaxies also, six years. That's a long and rocky road. Didn't we have we basically said exactly the same things last year, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, but Galaxies are promising new, important, exciting stuff in the future now.
Okay.
I can't tell you exactly what, because they were promising them just now on FanFest.
I noticed when I was reactivating my Planet Side, the Sony Station Launcher, which is their integrated tool for bundling all their games together, it seems to be offering me 28 days of free Star Wars Galaxies. And I have no idea why. I don't know if it's... I think it happened a little bit before the anniversary,
I've always got Galaxies sitting on mine whenever I've checked.
Yeah? Oh, perhaps it's just a free month that they give... No, this one's actually been reactivated and is counting down now.
Okay.
I don't know what that's all about. But if you were ever a previous Galaxies player and want to go and have a look, do check the launcher, because you never know. You might go back in and have a cry about what's happened.
I
don't know. I mentioned this on Twitter, and a couple of people who also are in a similar boat to me said they wasn't activated for them, so don't know. Have a look anyway. It'll cost you nothing to check the launcher, at least, and you might be able to get a free month of it.
Mm. Yes, both games have in-game celebrations.
Mm. Both games interesting, and I suppose, you know, last week we were talking about our preservation orders and our listed status of MMOs. I think both of these are two that I'd put in the category of interesting and different, certainly from a historical perspective.
Yeah.
If anyone's sort of attempting to become some kind of MMO pundit like ourselves, you probably would do worse than having a look at each of those, if you haven't already.
Yeah. So head on into either game, and see what they're doing.
I expect they've both got celebrations and events going on.
Galaxies is giving away lots of free stuff. There's going to be a...
Second Life's a little less centralised in terms of hubs and communities, but there'll be all sorts of things going on in there if you look around as well.
Just follow the fairies.
Nah.
Okay, next. Mm. Second week in a row.
Oh.
WoW news.
More WoW news. Yes. See, we're not WoW haters.
We're not WoW haters.
No.
We talk about WoW all the time.
I got told off for calling the gnomish motorbikes, because I then promptly went on to my blog and wrote a post about how awesome giant robots in Guild Wars were, which may have come across as a little inconsistent, so I do apologise. Gnomish Harley Davidson's also awesome.
Of course, the whole point being that the entire IP was inspired by Warhammer, and Warhammer's never had that sort of problem with technology.
Well, the gnomish people have always been there with their mechanical ostriches and stuff. Why not Harleys? Why not oil rigs, which I think was what set it all off, wasn't it? The oil rig they're adding to the battle.
Yes.
Band. Yeah.
Anyway, WoW.
WoW.
Apparently, it's still down in China.
It's still down?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Now, this was this weird big handover thing, wasn't it? The Nine, I think, was the company that used to be running it in China, and then they went into bankruptcy because they weren't allowed to put the Wrath of the Lich King expansion on or something. Well, it cost them vast amounts of money because bones, you know, Chinese people don't like skeletons or something.
No, it's more than just that. It's the transfer from The Nine to NetEase.
Mm, someone else bought it all up. Well, bought the franchise, anyway.
It was passed on to them for a large amount of money, and it was meant to be a seamless transfer, wasn't, and it's still down.
Still down, yeah. We reported this last week, and
apparently they're working around the clock to get it working.
That's a big problem. If it lasts too long, people are going to go look for other games.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it is just clinical addiction.
Yeah. Okay, next.
Yep.
Final Fantasy 11 news.
Final Fantasy 11.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. Exciting.
Square Enix of America are being sued for deceiving 100,000 customers for unfair business practices, false advertising, and unjust enrichment regarding online title Final Fantasy XI.
Unjust enrichment?
I don't know what that means. Fantastic. That sounds legal nonsense.
Okay, so what did they do then? What went wrong? Some sort of bait and switch. Some
licensing
offer.
Of the online game software disguised as a sale, monthly fees to play the game,
oh.
Penalties for late payment of the fees, interest charge and late payment of the fees.
Hey? Well, they charge penalties if your subscription's late.
I don't know.
That sounds weird.
Charges while the online game account is suspended, termination of the right to use online game for late payment of fees. Yeah, okay, that one's probably okay. User restriction conditions rated on a game, a termination game for payment of the fees. So basically what they're saying is you have to pay money to play.
Well, it was interesting that one of the earlier ones you mentioned there with about the it being a license disguised as a sale. That impacts pretty much all MMOs, doesn't it?
It impacts all software if you actually read the
Well, quite. This is basically what most EULAs say, is that you don't own the software. You borrow, you're basically renting some time using it or something. It's all a bit mucked up. So this is the first real big go at an MMO EULA, then, that we've seen.
Well, I don't know if it's going at the EULA, it's going at the...
Sounds like some sort of quite strange billing practices going on there, though. But not so dissimilar to the way most MMOs
work. I'm pretty sure the box says requires a monthly fee to pay.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
In fact, there's a box on the top shelf over there if you want to get it.
But you can't be bothered to get it. But it will say that, I've seen this on boxes before, certainly, Internet subscription required, that sort of thing. So perhaps they just didn't label it properly. I don't know. Some loophole that got them in trouble.
Well, I think just people trying it to see, and they're going after that one for reasons of, you know, it's easier than going after Blizzard.
Well, perhaps set that precedent.
Yeah.
We should keep an eye on that one. Yes. See what happens in future.
In more stupid news.
Yeah.
Australia.
Oh yes,
Great Australian firewall, which is a stupid idea that they've been doing, thinking that they're going to protect everyone from.
We shall have no smut in this country, thank you. Yeah. Throw the big knife switch. Yeah.
Well, now they're going to ban online games that aren't rated.
So is this very similar to the system China's got, where all Australian traffic would exit through a number of very small number of proxies or whatever?
Yes, and the idea being that they can completely restrict. It's, of course, to be good and protect the children.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand it somewhat in China, where perhaps the political system is somewhat more restrictive than that you'd expect to be in Australia. But, interesting. I mean,
Basically, it's a nothing story because it's technically impossible for the Australians to do.
Cause, well, I imagine there'll be a number of ways around it. Yeah.
No, they just will never get it working. It will never pass, and it will cost them way too much money when they try.
So it was, what, 15 plus?
Yeah.
So they're trying to ban all incoming internet traffic that's rated 15
it's
plus.
It's the sale of the games.
Oh, I see.
Basically, if they play Asia... sell you a game in Australia that's not rated in Australia, then they will be banned and you won't be able to get to their website and everything.
I see.
But it won't work and will never happen, so.
Well, again, another one to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Darkfall News.
Ooh.
They've announced the American server.
Oh, yes.
And a free expansion.
This is NA-1.
Yep.
We see mentioned an awful lot in commentary.
It was so funny. All these Americans crying that they have to pay for an extra box, just like we've always had to, you bastards.
I'm quite conflicted on this one, to be honest. I did a little reading around the subject, and as far as I can tell, they're basically going to launch a new server in North America, which everyone on the EU/1, which is the existing current single and only Darkfall server, was quite jubilant about. I think mainly because, for starters, many of them are Americans, and why wouldn't you want to play on your local server? But also, I think EU-1 has something of a reputation of being somewhat destroyed or despoiled by a very early exploit and the fallout thereof, hackings and that sort of thing. And I suppose there seems to be some kind of assumption that a clean server, a clean slate, it'll all be much better and everyone will be playing properly from the word go, presumably because all these exploits are now patched up and there won't be any of the fallout left over to deal with. But then it turns out that if you just wait 3 months, you can pay to have your character transferred across anyway.
Yeah, because they don't want everyone going day one because it'll ruin stuff.
Well, but then surely that will allow the people who've gotten rich by ill-gotten gains to move across and just create exactly the same problem again in 3 months' time. So I don't know about that. A lot of people quite annoyed that they're going to have to buy the game again to take
I
part
think
on
there
NA1.
Were some concessions with that. But the main point is, we've always had to do this. Every game's had this. You buy the American one. When the European game finally released, you had to buy the client again.
I mean, I'm very conflicted and confused on this one. I mean, on the one hand, I don't particularly like Darkfall, but I'm big enough to understand that it's not my game, and that's fine. On the other hand, I really do sympathise for anyone, because we, again and again on this show, we bitch about US and EU server divides, and this is basically that, but from the other side, for a change.
Yes.
And yes, there's a little bit of schadenfreude there as well, because
a little bit.
As Europeans, we get to experience this kind of rubbish on a gamely basis. Pretty much every MMO that comes out, it goes through this kind of thing, but the other way, so... I've had to pay for City of Heroes twice in the past, and I shouldn't have had to do so. But so it does.
If I want to play on the American Lord of the Rings servers, I have to buy the box again.
Yeah, it's all that. The net sum of all that is I don't quite know how I feel about this, but I'm annoyed at someone and I don't know why.
The net sum of all that is we can moan at hardcore players for complaining about stuff that we've had to deal with for ages.
Yeah, I don't see how it would have gone any other way, to be honest.
It's a different publisher, it can't.
And is it something so fundamentally bad with staying on the EU server? Have you already got a character there? You've already got your guild.
Is the
ping time that much of a problem?
I doubt it. If you can play Planets.
Well, I play Planetside on a US server, and the ping's difference there is about 50 milliseconds, which I can't see making that much of a difference, to be honest. But if there is a genuine and widely perceived problem with exploiters and cheaters and hackers on EU1, then that's something Adventury need to... See, I got it right. I can call them Adventury.
Yeah.
That's something they need to address, not by starting a new server and hoping the new one goes all right, but by rolling back or killing off, cheated accounts, rejigging the economy at the server level.
I suspect there's an awful lot of grass is greener.
It could be that.
Hasn't the European server been dominated by one big alliance or something?
I'm not sure about the political landscape.
But that's
the
way it works, because that's what happens in all these games.
It would be one or two or three very large power blocks consolidated very early on. And so if you can't break into that, that's going to be frustrating. And a brand new server will be a very appealing thing. But then NA-1 will end up, I guarantee you, will end up with perhaps two or three big power blocks this far down the line again in the future. So who knows? A lot of indignation, and I think a lot of it you've just got to be quite pragmatic about.
Yeah. So, well,
we've seen this before.
And we actually came out of that on the side of
I do feel for Darkfall players and Darkfall. Yeah, I mean, clearly if it's the exploiting that's the problem, that needs to be sorted by Adventury. Don't just create a new world and hope the new one runs all right.
Yeah.
And if it's not the exploit, then what's your problem? Just make do with your extra 50 milliseconds of ping and get on with the game, because the new server is going to end up very much like the current server very quickly.
Yeah.
It'll be the design of the game will dictate that.
Okay, moving on.
Let's.
Something a little less serious.
Mm.
Iran.
Right. All right.
Yes.
Do be careful with this one, number one.
Apparently they haven't blocked online gaming as one of their things on their firewall.
They have.
They haven't.
They haven't. Oh, right. So
although I suspect
people are using World of Warcraft to organise dissent and opposition.
I don't know if anyone is, but I suspect that by now they have, because they read all the news reports saying they've forgotten it.
Yeah. So, there you go.
It's like when the thing was kicking off and everyone on Twitter was retweeting proxies that were still open for Twitter.
Mm.
And all that was happening was the Iranian intelligence services were monitoring Twitter for that hashtag and adding the IP addresses as they came up.
Yeah. Widely publicising the secret code probably isn't a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Fusion 4.
Yes. We haven't talked about this in a long time.
We had a quick look.
Had a quick look at the very start and decided it wasn't for you. But
They got their first major content patch coming.
Okay. It's been a while, hasn't it? Seems reasonable.
And over 5 million accounts.
5 million? Oh, they're all getting a bit shirty about Free Realms. Banging the drum, aren't they? hey, over here, 5 million. Excuse me.
5 million in many months.
Yeah, well, quite.
They've got a family deal, $9.95 a month for up to four separate MMO accounts.
That's...
Which is quite a nice way to do it.
What's the normal price for Fusion 4?
Yes.
Right.
More than $9.99 for four.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing then.
Yeah. And they're adding vehicles.
Cool. There's a picture of a little lad on a hovering skateboard there, by the looks of it.
Yep.
Looks cool.
And another lad on a hovering potato and somebody on a really old-fashioned looking scooter.
A hovering potato?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's the kind of player mount I want.
Okay.
In Lotro, preferably. Yeah.
Real-time worlds.
They make APB.
Yes.
See,
and
I
did make...
Crackdown.
Yes.
Yes.
And also... trick question, that's the only game.
Oh, you scoundrel.
Except... that, for their unannounced second MMO.
Oh, they haven't got the first one out yet. That seems a bit premature.
They stopped their staff to something stupid like 250.
Hang on. They said that they're not making an MMO. It's going to be something different. It's not MMO. We don't use that term. Yeah. So I'd use the term now. Actually, it could not, be whoever wrote
I'm
the article.
I'm not sure they actually did mention the term MMO.
Fair enough. As you were. So, they've already announced and are starting to work on, presumably, another project, even though the first one has yet to be tried.
The first one's probably the ramping down stage. Most of the development work's probably done, and it's on to bug fixes and tweaking.
Right.
So you can probably move the majority of your developers.
Have we had open betas or stress
not
tests
yet.
For APB? No.
Nope.
Okay. Can't be that far off, though.
APB looks like it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Crackdown was fun. Therefore, I think their new game will be fun.
I have no real opinion yet, but my co-host seems very positive.
I don't know nothing about it apart from the fact that it's going to be an MMO-like game.
Yeah, but you're basing your opinions on extensive playthroughs of their previous work, which is largely Crackdown, which you've enjoyed immensely. So,
oh, yes.
So there you go, that counts for something, I'd say.
Okay, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I've got bad news.
Yeah.
PC gaming's dead.
Oh, no!
Well, more importantly, the weekly NPD sales charts for PC games is dead.
What killed it this time?
That they didn't want to do it anymore because they couldn't be asked. So the only weekly charts we have left now in the US are Steam and Director Drive, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So just sort of guesswork on the numbers for gaming, I suppose.
I don't know why they've done it. They're keeping the monthly ones.
Mm-hmm.
Which are okay, but I guess they just got really bored of going Sims, 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 Warcraft, Warcraft,
yes.
Sims.
We'll start doing stats again when they change. Yeah.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Slight non-MMO news here.
Okay.
But I think it's worth talking about.
Go for it.
Sean Cooper.
Got nothing.
He was behind Syndicate.
Syndicate?
Yeah.
Is that not Molyneux?
No, he did the design and programming.
All right.
Molyneux just fiddled, probably, and sat at the side making grand claims that were impossible to implement.
Yeah, transcending quietly in the corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, none of the prototypes he's ever seen EA or anyone else come up with for a new Syndicate game has been any good.
Oh, right.
And he has doubts that any sequel, which may or may not be in development, will be any good because he doesn't think EA understands what made the first one so much fun.
I don't either.
Neither do I.
I do remember enjoying it. I just couldn't put my finger on any particular thing. Perhaps it is quite hazy, and obviously we'll get to the Twitter question later. But
he said that it's basically just going around killing people like a Terminator.
Yeah, it is. And ramping yourself off your head on drugs most of the way through, as I recall. Building up massive tolerances to the speed boost one all the time, and then, But there's a certain aesthetic to it, I suppose. I mean, I didn't really play any of the sequels or the expansions or anything like that, but certainly distinctive. The sort of corporate dystopia, the absolute brutality of the sort of near-future corporate machine, you know. I think that's probably what it captured, even though it was all just sprites.
Yeah.
But, so nothing coming up that's anywhere close?
He doesn't think so, no. Mm-hmm. Shame. I'd like to see a new one done right.
Well, that's the thing, done right, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, now, okay, we've got a bunch of PlayStation numbers.
Okie dokie.
Yes. PlayStation Network.
PlayStation hating hour.
No, it's not. Actually, there is some PlayStation hating in there, but it's not all me.
Oh, okay. As long as you've got some numbers to back your hate up, I don't mind so much.
The entire UK retail industry is one of the haters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway, starting off with the PlayStation Network, a bit online-y.
Right, yeah.
Apparently they've got 25 million registered users on it.
Okay, I've totally forgotten what the last number for that you read out on the show was, but presumably that's up.
Yeah, there are 500 million things have been downloaded since the PS Network launch.
Right.
From games to wallpaper.
Uh-huh.
And the store currently has 200 games, 1,900 movies, 9,000 TV episodes, and yes, not in Europe.
We have
three in total. So, yeah, it's quite big, quite successful, but the 25 million users thing is not entirely right.
Does everyone get one for free as soon as they...
You can get one for free, and...
Might not ever actually use it.
It's the people who want to have accounts on the forums as well need one, and people on the PSP have one, so it doesn't mean anything, really, their number.
Yeah.
That Also, I do actually have a couple of them because, you know, you want one for different reasons for grabbing stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some more PlayStation hating.
Okay.
This time it was Sky. Sky Broadband accidentally put their anti-file sharing code mm-hmm. stuff between 5 p.m. and midnight yeah. on the PlayStation Network traffic.
Ooh.
Sort of had some effects. Video may not be that fast. Matchmaking in games may not have worked that well.
Oh dear.
And they said it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't believe this because I think they knew exactly what they were doing. They were doing it because of video.
Well, too many people were using the PS whatever well, to watch a video yeah. across Sky broadband packages.
What happens is nearly all of the ISPs in this country block video traffic between those hours. And I think what Sky did was they were a little bit broader in their traffic shaping than they could have been, or maybe PlayStation Network does it a little bit more less easy to block just the video
right.
ended up killing an awful lot of systems. But they said it was a mistake that resulted from systems error,
uh-huh.
which is a lie. Yes, because usually they say it's just for peer-to-peer applications, but that is not entirely true.
Right.
They just don't like video.
So just overstressing their servers much, this current video revolution.
Yeah, no.
I mean, look at this. As we record right now, we're watching streaming video across the web. And, yeah, I watch BBC iPlayer all the time instead of the telly these days.
So do I now, yeah.
Yeah, so it is all moving onto the internet instead of the traditional
yeah.
broadcast mechanisms. And I suppose that increased traffic, moving straight up from, I don't know, audio and data straight up to video for everyone, and HD as well. Going to be pushing ISPs a lot and making them having to, unfortunately, spend more on their servers and architecture, I suppose. But yeah.
Moving on to the next bit of Sony hating.
Oh, go on.
How many pre-orders do you reckon the UK retail industry say there have been for the new PlayStation Portable, the PSP Go, which is out soon?
PSP Go. I think 12.
Down.
Two.
Down.
One.
Down.
None. No one's pre-ordered it.
No.
Right. Because that's good. I thoroughly disapprove of pre-orders in general. I think I might have a bit of a rant here. I mean, why would you order something you have no idea what is going to be and what is finished? This is very much the case
what it's going to be when it comes out, because it's a new version of the console. If you're going to buy a new PlayStation,
well, perhaps in
portable,
this case.
You go for that.
I just think pre-ordering anything at all sends the wrong message. It says to whoever's making it, I don't care what you put in that box, here is my money. You know, it's a trust thing. I have trust issues, clearly. He's looking at me funny. Okay, carry on.
Yes. Now, the reason why no buggers pre-ordered it is the PlayStation Go in the UK is twice as much as the current PSP.
Right. So yeah. Everyone's deciding, thanks but no thanks. What do you get with a PSP Go, then? What makes it twice as good as
smaller,
a PSP?
Doesn't really have a disc reader.
Right. So not really worth it.
Bit more memory.
Is this PlayStation charging too much for their products again?
Yes.
A common theme I'm noticing from my position on the outside.
Yeah, basically, Sony, there's also, they've been saying they're not going to cut the price of the PS3. And there have been some incredibly idiotic comments said by them. Stuff like, people in Europe don't base their decisions on price, they base it on quality.
Hello, I'd like to speak at this point as a citizen of Europe and say that price is very, very important to me.
Yes, how arrogant
are you,
Sony?
As evidenced by my clothes shopping, which generally happens in mainstream supermarkets.
Yeah.
I know for a fact these clothes will disintegrate within months and I'll have to do it again, but it's cheaper. That's the key. So yes, price is very important to me.
Would people buy more when they are cheaper? Of course! But on the other hand, they're an inherent market challenge. In Europe, I think people do see the value of the machine, the Blu-ray, the network services, and take that all into consideration instead of just focusing on price.
Hey, stop tarring us with this brush. Yes.
Fuck off, you arrogant fuck.
And as a citizen of Europe, you're quite justified in saying that. Yeah, it's jolly good.
Oh, people wonder why I hate Sony. It's not the machine, it's the people.
Well,
it's so arrogant. Oh, we were top of the console last year. It's all going to be fine this time. No, it's
sort
not.
Of assuming that people are happy paying extra for what? For perceived quality? I don't even know if that's justified.
They're just price gouging because they think they can get away with it.
No, they're just price gouging because they've made a unit that costs too much to manufacture and they're being intransigent on taking a loss, which I suppose ultimately you have to be if you're not going to go out of business. But they need to make their units for less and then charge us less. That's the way, I think. But
yep.
What do I know?
Okay, a bit more positive news for Sony now. PlayStation Home.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually getting more and more in favour of. I won't go there, but I'm more and more in favour of it existing.
Fair enough.
Apparently it's had 7 million users.
That's quite a lot, yeah. Most of them people going in and looking around and going, what's this all about? Being sworn at by someone random and then disappearing?
Yeah, that happens every time I go in, actually.
You may be wearing the wrong outfit. Maybe there's something about you that marks you out for ridicule.
I tried putting the full Star Trek uniform on and it didn't help.
Right.
We got some more specific numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Red Bull's Air Race game has been played by 873,136 unique users.
Out of 7 million, that's not huge take-up, is it?
Clocking over 2.5 million visits and 575,000 hours of gameplay. Average session duration is 39 minutes.
So presumably that 800,000 is unique users, some of which are coming back more than once. Yeah. Right, gotcha. Hmm. Yeah.
And the game...
When did that Red Bull game go in? Because that's quite...
5 months ago.
That's more recent than the whole project. Yeah. Yeah. So lots of early interest, perhaps, and not as much people sticking with it.
Yeah, the average home session is 56 minutes.
56 minutes?
Yes, yeah. And 80% of the people are male. Rather than the 90% that Sony expected. Which is funny, because every time I go in there, it's just people hitting on people.
Right. So, not all people who look like women on the interweb are actually women?
I know. You heard it here first, folks.
Interesting.
It's reasonably popular, and as soon as I figure out what to do with it, I guess it'll be more popular.
Right.
The Red Call game's really, really rubbish.
I've not played it, obviously, because I don't have a PS3.
Okay, two stupid stories. No, actually, one stupid story of the week and one British TV news.
Yeah. Expanding our remit, I suppose, to cover the cult British TV.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the stupid story. Am I going to know the difference between these two stupid stories?
Yes, you will. No, because one of them is ITV being silly. So, yes. Richard Garriott.
Oh, there you go.
Zero-G wedding.
Zero-G wedding?
Yeah.
Right.
Garriott went up and presided over a Zero G wedding.
Oh, presided over?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So that's not actually space. That'll be in the old Vomit comic,
won't it? In the Vomit comic, yeah.
The plane with the empty inside that dives
fast. Zero G Corporation.
Is he a minister of some sort, then?
I would imagine so.
Oh, you can get a license for that sort of thing on the interweb very easily, I imagine. I'll have to try and get one for next show. You never know. Might want to end up doing a wedding on the show.
Not saying anything.
No, don't know where that came from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's really, really silly.
Well, it's... Yes.
And, of course...
Did anyone vomit?
Doesn't say. But since Garriott was involved, the wedding is doomed to fail.
Right.
Next up.
Yeah.
Personal hero.
Oh, here we go.
Gerry Anderson.
Ah.
Went to ITV and said... If I can raise the $15 million it'll need, I could do you a CGI version of Thunderbirds, much in the vein of the CGI version of Captain Scarlet they did a couple of years ago, which was very good.
Sort of defeats the point and cult following of Thunderbirds, though. It's all about the puppets.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about CGI, but... Oh, puppets and ridiculously over-the-top explosions as well.
Yeah. Now, of course, ITV's chairman was... Actually, this is a bit out of date. They're reporting. Who was it? I can't remember. Michael Grade, who, of course, holds some of the rights for Thunderbirds.
Oh, right. So we could be seeing a Thunderbirds revival not too far away.
Because he isn't going to do it.
He's going to be given the money. 15 million, that seems a lot.
Yeah,
but I don't know how much this stuff costs.
It would sell really well. But then again, if they're cancelling their really successful shows, then yeah, they're not going to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still bitter at ITV about the whole Primeval thing.
He was pitching it as a perfect rival to Doctor Who.
Really?
Which I think, yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. No, actually, a cartoon would not work on Saturday evening.
A CGI cartoon of the Thunderbirds versus Doctor Who, yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Yes, so what I think needs to actually happen is that the rights for Thunderbirds need to be freed up, and then the BBC can make it.
Open source Thunderbirds.
Open source Thunderbirds.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's it for news then.
Jolly good.
Ending on a real downer.
Let's have a quick update on the on Shuttler Cam.
Oh, a quick update on Shuttler Cam.
He's still not left Durotar yet.
He's still running. Oh, he's just left his desk.
Excellent. Oh, no, he just seems to be running around Ogrimmar in circles, and we don't know why.
I don't think he knows what he's doing. And he's drinking.
I hope that's tea in that mug.
That's not tea, that's vodka.
Explains why he's going around Ogrimmar and not really getting anything done.
Yeah.
Awesome. It so works as an audio feature.
Oh, he's about to go away anyway to go to a comic shop.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. This is a rubbish spectator sport. Kill more things. Yes.
Yeah, so that'll do, I think.
Right. No topic this week.
Yeah, my bad. There was another topic fail this week. I'm really having trouble, to be honest, with these topics.
Are you burnt out?
Well, I suppose it's a little bit of burnout. I mean, I'm quite happy to talk about stuff that comes up in the news, but coming up with, you know, the big discussions each time is getting a bit... There's only so many times you can have the big PvE versus PvE debate, you know, PvP and all that, and, you know... trade skills, auction house, so
on. You better tell that to the bloggers.
Well, I'm prepared to admit this is a problem solely myself, and other people manage quite happily. No, what I thought we'd do is mix things up a bit, because I'm getting a bit... I sort of do the what we're playing bit, and I talk about my big three games that I'm always playing, and that I quite like, and that I'm unlikely to give up anytime soon. And I look across, and I see you, like, slumped back on the chair, mouth open, snoring quietly, which is a neat technique, actually. Inaudible snoring, and I thought, well, yeah, okay, well, why don't we mix this up a bit? So, regular readers of my blog might remember the Operation Cheap Seats format I sometimes do, which is basically when I get restless and decide to hit the free trial circuit. So what I thought I'd do is I'd drag you into it as well.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is, on alternate weeks, we shall be talking what we're playing, just the one game.
Now, yeah.
What we've done is we've gone to MMORPG.com, and I've always been very impressed with their game list. You know, whenever anyone says, oh, there's only World of Warcraft and Age of Conan, I just laugh and I scoff. And it turns out that our genre is actually much, much bigger than most people give it credit for. They got a big old list on their page there, the game list, and between titles that are coming soon, titles that are in beta and titles that are out, there must be over 100 titles there. Naturally, not all of them are the ones we've played, so I quite pride myself on my my cosmopolitan experiences of as many MMOs as I can, so this is an ideal opportunity, I think, to broaden both of our horizons a bit.
Yes.
And we're going to drag you, the dear listener, along on this hellish journey with us.
You have no choice either, dear listener.
So, we've gone through the list and we've picked out, we've sorted it by hype stroke rating, and then gone down the list and made it, basically jotted down all the ones that neither of us has ever played. There's a list of ones I've never played but he has, and vice versa. And then, using a bit of audience participation, although they didn't really know they were our audience at the moment, we've gone into Shuttler's live World of Warcraft session and asked some of the people there for random numbers. So, right, let's have a look then. What we got? We got number 23. If you want to count
number
down
23,
the list?
That would be Rappels.
This is Shuttler. He's picked... Oh, right. So I shall be spending the next 2 weeks in Rappels. Now, yep. I don't know if they've got a free trial or whether they're just free to play. Either way, I shall be spending 2 weeks playing it, and then I shall be reporting back in a fortnight, and we'll have a bit of a discussion about what it is, what it's like, whether we recommend it or not.
Yep.
Okay, what else we got? We got, who's that? Culvir, who's also in there, and he/she has said number 8. So this will be what you're going to be playing.
That means I am in Jumpgate No Evolution.
Jumpgate. Classic Jumpgate. Whoa, yes. A lucky hit there, I suppose, you with your Eve experience. that'd be fascinating.
Now, to be fair, I did play 2 hours of Jumpgate once, but I can't remember anything about it.
The only reason I've got it down as played is that I did it on a previous Operation Cheap Seats run myself, so I've got about 14 days experience with it. I've never played Rappels, and I don't imagine you have either, so that'd be interesting to see what the hell that even is, let alone how that plays. I think this is going to be interesting for a number of reasons. I mean, this strikes the Eurogamer review. Obviously, you know, I don't want to dredge that up again. And one thing I'd always sort of thought about when I was doing this sort of Operation Cheap Seats thing back in the day was how on earth can you possibly make any kind of informed or value judgments about an experience which is supposed to last you many, many months, if not years, over the space of 14 days. And as you mentioned in a previous show, you're not going to get 14 sessions in 14 days.
No.
You got other stuff. I mean, both of us, we're going to be continuing to be playing what we're playing anyway for the what we're playing segment. You know, he'll be on his consoles and playing EVE, and I'll be still be doing all my usual Guild Wars, City of Heroes, and Lord of the Rings as well. But in the other days, in the off days, we shall be having a crack at these. So I'd expect we'll get, I don't know, maybe a night or two per week out of it all. And those will be 3 or 4 hour sessions. So possibly as little as 8 hours will be a representative example of what the gameplay in these games is like. And yes, I've seen it argued very, very vehemently and very coherently in a number of places that you just cannot possibly get any kind of value judgment or come up with a score or even understand what gameplay is like after just 8 hours of play of something like World of Warcraft or whatever. So I wonder, I mean, yes, we're going to give this a go anyway, and with a bit of a tongue-in-the-cheek attitude towards it all, but then I wonder, is that still not the doesn't-matter sort of thing? These people are basically putting these 14-day trials out there and using them to entice us to try and buy their product. So clearly, in these game developers' and game publishers' eyes, these 14-day trials are good enough to sell the product, or not. So I think it can be a fair assessment and a fair judgment, and I can't imagine many MMOs have fundamentally different gameplay that alters drastically within the first sort of 10 hours of play.
If it does, there's probably something wrong.
Yeah, I imagine life is mostly going to be quite similar. I mean, yeah, okay, end game changes, perhaps PvP changes, but we'll be trying to have a go at those aspects of these games as we go, and see just, yeah, what these titles are about. But I think you can make judgments after a 14-day trial. You will know if a thing is or isn't going to be for you. And I'm always very wary and perhaps a bit, I just don't generally agree with people who say that you need to play an MMO for a month or a year before you can understand what it's about, or before you know if it's for you. Because they've won in that case, haven't they? Even if you play it for like 2 or 3 years and decide, no, actually, I don't like this, it's rubbish. They've still got 2 or 3 years of your subscription, so they've won and they don't really care one way or the other. So we'll give the 14 days a trial.
Or however many days it is. Although yeah, I believe yours is a free-to-play. So
in the case of free-to-plays, I should just play them for 14 days.
And no paying money in.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I shan't be bothering with item shops or any microtransactions. We'll just see if the basic game is good or bad and judge it on a very limited snapshot of the early game.
Just checking to see if Jumpgate's got a free trial.
I think
do
it
keep
does.
Talking.
Yeah, perhaps a little bit more research then needed on this. In future weeks, I mean, we've done this random dice roll thing, but next fortnight we should be probably opening it up to the Twitter question, and I shall put a list online somewhere of the titles that are available to be chosen from.
If we don't put a list up, then we'll just take the first one, which sounds interesting.
Yeah, people can suggest stuff, although to be fair, I have played an awful lot of MMOs.
I haven't.
And part of the reason of doing this for me is that I want to have played them all.
So, yes,
you know, if we're going to be sat here yammering away for an hour every week about this, that and the other MMO, it's useful to actually have some hands-on experience with as many of them as possible.
You may have played them all, an awful lot of them.
I don't say I played many of them correctly, but
but I think you'll find that your listeners hate you and want you to play the worst games possible.
Oh, so yes, I've no illusions as to what will happen here. It'll be straight into Lineage 2 every fortnight for the next year, but I shall be exercising some kind of veto, I think. But yeah, take it in the spirit as meant. And yeah, I genuinely do want to see what all these games are like. I mean, in my long and illustrious 10 years of playing MMOs since 1999 EverQuest, there have been big and important titles I've just completely missed. Not really out of any particular maliciousness or going out of my way to, no, I'm never playing this. It's just that something else came up. There was a different shiny. I just slipped through the cracks. Dark Age of Camelot's a very big example of that. A sort of quite a seminal and fundamentally, yes, I suppose, important game from the early days of the MMO genre, and I've never looked at it. And it's just shocking. So
yes,
and Dark Age of Camelot is on the list. There's a number of titles. I've also got Warhammer Online. So anyone currently playing that, I might be joining it.
We'll also got Final Fantasy XI. Don't know if there's a free trial, but I will lend you my Disney and Xbox.
I was hoping to get out of having to play a console MMO, but if you've, if you've got one and it's on the list, I'll do my best.
We're all both Lineages.
What else have we got on the list? Yeah, you got Lineage 1 and 2. I've never
played
either.
World War 2 Online?
World War 2 Online. Never tried that. Yeah, I mean, I surprisingly and perhaps uncharacteristically do quite enjoy playing its side, so perhaps World War 2 Online is also a fun and enjoyable experience. Pirates Unless I try, I'll never know.
Pirates of the Burning Sea, neither of us have played that.
Yeah, again, not really an omission of purpose, but just something that seemed to have slipped by. There's only so much time, and unless I think it's important perhaps to take deliberate pains to go and try some new stuff, even if you are happy with what you've got and obsessed with a particular title, you know, you never know if another title might be even better unless you occasionally take time out to have a little look around.
Hmm.
So that'll be the plan for the next. I mean, I imagine the bigger topics that are relevant to news will still be yammered about in due course.
Oh, if anything really exciting happens, we'll cover that.
Yeah, so I shall be off playing Repels then over the next 2 weeks. I have no idea what it is. We had a quick look at the website, didn't we?
It seems to be some sort of training pets.
Pet based PvP.
I don't know.
Looking forward to finding out what that's all about in due course.
Yes,
and you'll be looking at the original Jumpgate.
The original Jumpgate, yes, the hardcore original Jumpgate.
Which, yeah, I mean, you can actually look on their website. They got this josh.com, which is basically their Jumpgate operating system shell thing. It's very clever. It's like a integrated web-based thing where it keeps all your character records, all the statistics about the game and so on, all your little medal case. It's all done on the website, which I thought was a fantastic use of the technology. Quite an old game. Let's have a look. Quick, click, click, click. There we go. All right, now, on this page there, stop there. If you look down there, universe statistics, pilot information, number of active pilots as we speak, is 14.
It could be 14,000.
No, I think that is a dot, not a comma.
No, but if it's European, dot would be a comma.
I think you'd probably hear more about the game if there were 14,000 pilots in space, but which makes me wonder why they have three decimal places on the number of people playing. And out of those 14 players, 10 of them are actually in space flying around. So clearly a very, very, diminished, neglected, marginalised. Don't know. And it surprises me because lots of people are talking up Jumpgate Evolution, which is effectively a revamp of this game here. So I think it's perhaps interesting. I think it would be interesting to have a look and see.
Yeah,
see what the original game's like, and then perhaps from there we can
prepare me to play Jumpgate Evolution.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what we shall be up to for the next number of weeks, I think. I don't know how long we'll go with this, but we'll certainly try and get a good three or four.
Until we run out of games.
Yeah, certainly get three or four titles each in if we can. All right, okay. So, on to the Twitter question then.
Oh, the Twitter question. You'll want Twitter then, won't you?
No, I think so.
And you'll want a mouse?
And I'll probably want to come round to where I can see the screen and all that sort of jazz. Rumble, rumble, rumble as I shift the microphone around. Right, so this was mostly to do with... Last week I was talking about Beneath a Steel Sky. I found via the GOG.com, good old games website there, and I was very impressed with the service they provided. And the podcast question off of that caused yet another vast... vast response here and quite a lot of reminiscing as well. We're going back in time here. Podcast question. Impressed with Beneath a Steel Sky at GOG.com. I'm not actually paying me for that gratuitous advert. I just thought it was quite a worthwhile thing, even if it is a private venture. What old and busted gaming classics would you want to see revived and playable? We've all been there. We've all got our Windows 95 era games that no longer run under Vista or XP or whatever. We all had to muck around with DOSBox to try and get some of the very early classics ready. Sometimes we don't even have the machine that used to run the thing in the very early days. The old Commodore 64s, the ZX Spectrums, the Atari 2600s.
You weird people who get rid of your old computers.
Some of us do clear out stuff. Right, let's go then. We'll try and do a bit of a quick fire one this time because these do tend to run on a bit. Bad Panda, we've got Laser Squad. Yeah, used to play all the damn time when I was young. He's got a link there to, presumably, what was that, Moby Games or Wikipedia. Laser Squad, never played it. It's a sort of turn-based tactical shooter, isn't it?
Very
similar
to
Battle Isle, that sort of thing.
Very, rings a bell goes back from a bit, the olden days.
We've got Kiris Kodachi, Sword of the Samurai.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Never heard of it.
Oh, Sword of the Samurai was brilliant. It was Japanese feudal map or...
Is that like Defender of the Crown? It was by the same people, wasn't it?
I think so.
You're moving armies around Japan.
And you had to sneak into Japanese buildings and do stuff.
Oh, right. Fair enough. Is Shuttler there. Another World and Flashback, yes.
Yes. Flashback's out again in an HD version, yes.
Wow. That would have been Amiga era for me. The early Delphine Studios stuff. That was very good, yeah. Monkey Island 1 and 2 was a lot of fun, though I doubt it would be fun to replay them. As
Eric's we'll find there. Out, because Monkey Island 1's about to come out on Xbox.
Well, yeah, this he touches on a greater point there, is that a lot of this is rosy hindsight, and I wonder if we do play these games now, we might just look at them and go, oh, that's rubbish, and then wander back off to Crysis or whatever. Yeah. Perhaps we are superficial. Perhaps we would be playing these old titles more if we did genuinely really dig those kinds of graphics. I think the past is a happy place for some of these. Copperbird, Lords of Midnight. Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
Very good. Spent many happy hours waiting for it to load.
Awesome. That'd be a Spectrum user.
Yeah, the old squealing tape, all the good stuff. Lords of Midnight. That was very open world for that era.
It was
before the term had even been invented. You had your point of view, and you could face in 8 different directions and move sort of by per land across this giant map, looking for building up your army and all that sort of thing. Very impressive, actually, for how they managed to achieve it. We got there Y2 Fatboy, X-Wing, and more importantly, TIE Fighter. Those games consumed a large portion of my youth, as they were so damn good. Yeah, yours and mine. I was a very big fan of, especially TIE Fighter for some reason. I just found it great being the bad guys.
Yeah.
Something you didn't see much back then. But the whole series, I think I did an article on the blog a while back, because the Kill 10 Rats folks were reminiscing about old titles back then, and I chipped in a review of 1997 or 93 or whenever it was X-Wing came out. Let's see, Dr. Torag, my favourite old game is Tron Deadly Discs, Atari 2600, 1982, loved that game.
I think it's on Xbox Live.
Is it? Ah, so that's one good use of Xbox, is seeing all these really ancient stuff remade and brought back. We've got there Steve Melenkoff, podcast question, BBC / Spectrum / Amstrad games from our youth. Bring back blocky odd coloured graphics, I say.
Oh yeah.
Oh, especially Attribute Clash.
Oh yes.
That was fantastic. The design of the original Spectrum worked in such a fashion that in a given 8x8 block of pixels, you could only use 2 colours. It had a background and a foreground, didn't it? And it really sort of lent itself to some quite bizarre abstract screen, loading screen art and so on. And it's always fascinating to see how people try to get around that sort of technical limitation in a clever way. We've got Eric's chair there again. Railroad Tycoon and very first Civilization were great as well, and remade again and again, but just not as fun.
Ah, but is that because the games weren't as fun, or because the initial magic had gone?
I don't know. I mean, Civilization 1 compared to Civilization 4 are clearly very different games indeed. I mean, for starters, one of them's top-down and two-dimensional.
Yeah.
And has far less complexity involved in the trees and everything. But then, I suppose there's a certain purity in the original of a game. You imagine a Chess 4, where you have a three-dimensional board and all the units have a resource tree and there's deployment lines.
Funny you should mention that. I've got some notes here that I
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, perhaps there's something to be said for the very specific and known purity of a very simple game in its early form. I don't know. Perhaps that's why some of these remakes don't work quite as well. Arbitrary Genius, Ultima 4. Watched Copperbird play it and never got the chance to play it myself. Oh, boo hiss.
Ultima 4 was good. 5 I liked as well.
Well, apparently Ultima 4 was the best of them story-wise. I came quite late to Ultima, I think Pagan Ultima 8, which I just remember as being a nightmare of impossible jumpy puzzles. Yeah. So
they patched that in the end.
Yeah.
Yes, no, I was a massive fan of the older Ultimas, 4, 5, 6. 7 was when it started to get a bit big and a bit
because there was 7A and 7B and it was all sorts of spin-offs. And
7 is the one that looks like Ultima Online.
Yeah.
Which is the correct way for Ultima to look. They should make a new Ultima.
I remember Ultima, I think it was 9 Ascension? That was the big 3D one. That was fun, but it didn't really feel like an Ultima game.
It was not an Ultima game.
Mm. There's Eve Riotric. Do you remember Dune 2? Oh, do I remember Dune 2? Dune 2,
set
fantastic.
Off now.
It was the definitive RTS. Command and Conquer. Yeah, see, that's when they sold out and got all big and famous. Dune 2, very early top-down RTS based on three houses from the Dune universe. There was the Harkonnens and the Atreides, and this one they made up, which I suppose may have been in the books, the Ordos, which is the green team. Yeah, working your way up the tech trees there, on different sets of maps.
Yeah.
Dune Emperor, more recently.
Oh, yes.
Is a good, it's a passable, very good sort of revamp and tarting up of that basic concept, but worth looking out for, yeah. Very, had a lot of happy memories there. Uber Sandman, flashback without a doubt. Yeah, good stuff. What have we got there? Bevis, Syndicate, and maybe Beachhead.
Well, we covered Syndicate already.
Yeah, Syndicate. I don't know. I do remember it being fun, but as I said, I don't really remember a lot about it. Beachhead. Oh, that is going back. That was an almost impossible Spectrum game that I remember it as. Which basically, yeah, did literally involve you trying to storm an island from the sea, and I never got past the very first thing. Where I think you start on a gunboat with the big gun barrels, and you're supposed to shoot stuff down, and very hard work. I think it drove me off a bit. Another one from Uber Sandman, Crusader No Remorse or Crusader No Regret. Fantastic games. I don't really remember them. Is that very early Origin stuff? I think
I forget who published them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to skip on that one, I'm afraid. Go and look that up after the show. We've got there Welsh Troll, Burn Cycle, and Philips CDI title. I'd love someone to remake and modernise Seventh Guest 11-hour games. They rocked. They were very early CD-based.
They were very early CD-based games which had lots of full-motion video.
And
were basically
stuff.
Puzzle-based, where you get a screen with a puzzle on and had to move on to the next bit.
Very sort of Mist, that kind of genre, is it?
Sort of, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, sort of interesting games. I'm not sure how well remaking them would work in today's day and age.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is it. I mean, you know, when you give it all the modern shiny, does that destroy the original charm?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah Pickle there. I'll get back to you on that one. All right. A Mind Forever Voyaging would be a nice start, Jads. It sounds familiar. Doesn't ring any bells, though. I think was that early Infocom text-based thing, is it?
I have no idea.
Sure.
If we were more prepared, well, we would have researched it.
Double Point, oh, new follower. Shuttler beat me to it, but Day of the Tentacle and Sorts from LucasArts would be nice. Oh yes, Day of the Tentacle, often overlooked.
Telltale Games have been saying that Day of the Tentacle is one of the potential ones they may work on and do more Day of the Tentacle games.
Excellent. That was a sort of three-part sort of puzzle game.
Time travel.
Yeah. That, yeah. This evil tentacle trying to take over the world with time travel, and you got three hapless idiots who you have to guide through different time periods to sort it all out. Good stuff. Melmothulu, he says, I'd have to go for the classic funerary games of the Etruscans. Yeah, it's being a bit of a smart ass there, I think. I think we'll move on. Let's see, we got...
He didn't turn up to Console Club.
Shame
on
you.
I think he was in war.
Yeah, he was in double trouble then. Uber Sandman, Poo Sticks, definitely Poo Sticks. Oh, and Tag, yes. Will you stop that? Unwise, there we go. Unwise is taking it seriously. All the other LucasArts classics after Monkey Island. Many other games too, but they'd need graphical updates first. Yeah. So it'd be a Day of the Tentacle. Loom, that was one?
Loom, yes.
Vaguely remember.
Grim Fandango.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, a bit more recent there. Okay.
It's still not a bit more
recent. Well, more recent than Loom. It's all relative. Ninja Crash says, old school text adventures done Fable 2 style. The Hobbit, Infocom games, Grim Fandango.
There you go.
And the list is endless. Well, given all massively ramped up into Fable 2 style worlds.
Yeah, it's doable.
Yeah, maybe. My favourite, oh, this is Zonk. My favourite is already on GOG, Shiny's Sacrifice. I have played that as well. I've seen him talk about this before, and it is a strange game. It's a sort of, I don't know, bit of an RTS, action RTS. You sort of control different unit types moving across these various terrains, but it's a lot more hands-on than sort of clicking about a map. You actually have to sort of move about yourself, a little bit like Overlord, actually.
Okay.
In that you have a central protagonist who is in the world and you're running around as him with his own abilities and attacks, but also there's a bunch of troops following you that you can give waypoints as you go. So, yeah, very early sort of Overlord type of experience there. And, yeah, just weirdly surreal and alien in design. So, yeah, definitely worth a look. Other revivals I'd like, Planescape.
Planescape.
No, I mustn't. And the Baldur's Gate games. Yes, well, suffice to say they were very good. Let's see, Changeling Bob, who has used the correct hashtag.
Yes, and he's going to keep using a hashtag until
I use it. Yeah, yeah, it's all right. Yeah, but he uses up vital characters that I might need to use in the question, you see. Yeah, so hash podcast queue is still unused apart from me twice now. Also, Space Quest, all of them. Space Quest, do you play those? I missed those, I think.
Yes, comedy games back in the day by Sierra.
Okay. Sort of early, well, they point-and-click adventure sort of thing? Okay.
A lot the same as the non-space one, Police Quest and other one.
Right. Zozo with UFO Enemy Unknown, if the whole XCOM pack hadn't been dusted off for Steam recently. Well, there you go. You can see. I mean, I've used good old games as an example, but I think Steam do some of this revamp stuff of very old games as well, so keep an eye out for that. There are other places available, certainly. CM Gangrel, Shadowrun for the SNES. Ooh. Yes, I missed out on that entirely. I never had one of those, but let's go back a bit. Either that or Elite from the old BBC Micro. Oh,
well,
hardcore.
Nah, you see, I play there Elite. I play Elite at least twice a year, and
it's like a religious thing for you.
It is a religious thing. Yes, on the solstices. And yes, it's still a great game, but doesn't really stand up for the amount of time playing it that I used to.
Yeah.
I do tend to play Elite and then think I want to play Eve instead.
Pages and pages of charts of market values and stuff. And chasing after these elusive made-up urban legend ships that everyone said was in there but weren't.
Yeah.
Generation ships. And
that
all.
Was in the manual.
Yes. Nobody ever saw one. If they say they did, they're lying. Zozo again. Horace Goes Skiing.
I don't agree with you there.
No.
Horace and the Spiders was the best Horace.
Well, it was always
Hungry Horace, okay, not very good.
It was always Horace Goes Skiing for me. It was never Horace Is Skiing, because I could never get through the bloody Frogger game at the start on the road to get to the chalet to get the skis. So, yes, boo.
Bring back Horace.
Horace is awesome. It was just this, like, blob with eyes and two legs, really, wasn't it? Yeah.
Back in the days before Colour Clash was a problem on the spectrum.
Before. Yeah, mono-shaded. Yeah. NT, the original Harpoon game from 1989, which probably would not hold up nearly as well as my fond memories. Well, yeah, we're talking 20 years old there.
I suspect you're right.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. Harpoon, I'll have to look that up.
It was a military thing, wasn't it?
Some of you showing your age
here
a bit, I think.
It was a naval thingy of something. I remember it at the time, I thought it was an old game.
Ninja Crash, just been reading some other answers and someone got it. Beachhead, a totally class game. I'd have to disagree there, mostly because I sucked at it.
Everyone sucked at it.
Oh, here we go. Impossible Mission, though. That's Ninja Crash. That blew me away on C64 back in the day. The voice, stay a while, stay forever. Awesome. I do remember that. That was a fantastic game. It was this spy and you would trapped in this big underground complex by the villain, and there were these little robots that sort of zoomed about with lightning coming out of a trumpet on their heads, and you have to search all the furniture for key code cards. It was, yeah, and again, slightly surreal, but very good. Syntac, all this talk about the new Ghostbusters game makes me want to go play the original Ghostbusters game on the Commodore 64. Yes. I mean,
is that the one where you were driving around New York?
Yeah, you drive
top down.
Yeah, top down thing with the city blocks.
Yeah.
You had to keep going around buildings and keeping the ghost level down, and then you had to, and the actual combat was basically a Slimer zooming about in the middle, and you had to move one guy in a bit and then the other guy in a bit, and then you push fire and hopefully your beams got in between, and then you get and I'd always fail badly by spending far too much money on the car at the start. I never went with the station wagon. So presumably the modern game's not anything like that at all.
Not at all.
Right, fair enough. Siska, podcast question. Red Baron, or I guess Red Baron 3D, the WW1 flight sim. Update graphics and physics and multiplayer over live or Steam.
Oh, yes. Red Baron was fun.
Yeah, oddly enough, it's about one of the only few computer games my dad actually likes. he's a model aeroplane enthusiast, you know, real models with like Balsa and stuff. And I was always a terrible disappointment to him wanting to play with pretend airplanes on pretend computers instead. Here comes the therapy. Carry on, will you?
Next up, we've got Ridiculu. Syndicate or Syndicate Wars again.
Syndicate again, yeah.
Yes, Syndicate Wars is on PlayStation Network. I don't know, actually, if it is the same. I did actually grab it, but never actually played it.
I think there's a little bit of extra homework for you there, then.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got Paradiso. It's not an MMO, but the UFO... Oh, don't worry about it, no. We're mostly well back into the era, well before MMOs had even been invented. So this was back in the text mud days. We were all having more fun elsewhere, I think. It's not an MMO, but the UFO franchise. Probably not the correct name, but John should know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Yes, we all know.
Yeah, Bonzo's a big fan there as well.
Very good games.
Yeah, it's again sort of tactical squad-based shooter.
Yeah.
You have a number of action points, you move around the map.
Roughly based on the Gerry Anderson show.
Right.
Of the same name.
Uh-huh. Pete Walker 74, Sword of Fargol. Mwahahaha. He's out obscured me there.
Yeah,
I think.
Definitely.
Got anything? No. Right. I'll have to look that one up as well. Anything for my brothers, Vic 20, from Tiger Ears. Apart from the staple C64 and Amiga games like Paradroid, Whizball and Captive, I really want to play Battle Girl again. I'd not heard of Battle Girl. I did spend a ridiculous amount of time playing the Amiga version of Captive, though. Fantastic. It was a sort of isometric first-person sort of adventure game.
Oh yeah, I remember you.
It was sci-fi. You had a team of four robots instead of the usual warrior, magician, etc., and you could upgrade them with different gadgets. To work your way around these various sort of these prison maps and try and release yourself remotely because you'd found this briefcase computer in your cell and that was what was driving. It was all very well done, actually. A lot of fond memories of that. We've got Thermal Snow, Crusader by Origin Systems and Original Master Chief. Yeah. Also, a crappy game by Sega, the best overacting sewer shark. I think I'm going to have to track this Crusader down because it seems like a lot of people have a fond memory and I seem to have missed it. Welsh Troll. In fact, a new version of Chaos with multiplayer, not same room, and I'd need no more games. MMO Dan suggests Star Wars Galaxies. Bit of controversial there. I think it is still available, but possibly not in the form.
It's not available anymore.
Yeah, dead to us. Yes. Side Noir, it's better just to leave good memories as memories. Often when you try to revisit them, it's not as good as you remember. He has a point.
He does.
Yes. But yeah, I don't know.
Luckily, we hate ourselves.
It doesn't stop the yearning. Yeah, and you do go and have a look sometimes. Sometimes it is actually quite, these things are as good as you remember. But yes, often we change, games change, our expectations of what a decent computer game is changes. Yeah. Let's see, we've got a new follower here, Faint Lock. Bring back cannon fodder. Oh, yeah. I remember that. There's a little squad-based troops on this great big map.
Something like that, yeah.
Yes.
I never actually played it.
Also, I feel I missed out on one of Molyneux's earlier titles, Syndicate. Remake, please. Yeah, it's another vote for Syndicate there. We got Argoff 31. XCOM UFO Defense. Another XCOM there. It's another popular. Harry Hole, there can be only one answer to this. Elite, free roaming space action adventure. It still beats Eve on most fronts. quite a subjective opinion there, I think. But yeah, essentially Eve is a modern retelling of Elite with the multiplayer. So if you'd like that, you'll probably ought to give Eve a go if you haven't already. Astara, there was an old Atari game where two players raced to get a duck across a busy freeway the fastest. Way better than Frogger. Sounds like it had a head-to-head as well there. Was that co-op or deathmatch, do we think?
It's probably going to be deathmatch.
Right, fair enough. Get the duck across the freeway.
The term deathmatch hadn't been invented back then.
Yes. Ridiculo again. Oh, Deuteros from the Amiga. Please let there be a remake. Oh, he's got a link there as well. But yeah, Deuteros, I'd not heard of it. Oh, so let's click the link. He's trying to help us out here. Let's find out what we've got there. Oh, blimey. Deuteros, the next millennium. Sequel to Millennium 2.2. That looks like a picture of an Atari ST floppy disk there. Yeah, it's got that very sort of Atari-looking era graphics there. Brilliant. It's like a mini review of the thing, I think. And now I confuse myself. Where's TweetDeck? There we go. Hero of the West there. Oh, new follower. He's part of our Tuesday New Club.
Is he?
He's one of the best monks I've ever seen in that game. Yeah, awesome healer. I'd like to see the Monkey Island series make a comeback. Maybe with Xbox 360 remake, we'll see new life into the series. Yeah.
So funny that.
More
it's
Monkey
happening.
Island.
It's just happening. Telltale Games are doing it for the people.
Wish will be fulfilled soon.
In about a month, I believe.
About a month. Yeah. Awesome. Is that actually going to be literally a functional one-for-one port with the same Rocky graphics, or are they redoing the whole thing?
This is the new games. There's the functional one-for-one port for Xbox.
Okay.
And then there's the new...
Oh, they're making whole new games.
Telltale Games are making new games for PC.
Excellent.
In the style of Simon
I wonder, because some of the later Monkey Island stuff was a bit hit and miss.
Yes, but we're assuming that Telltale Games are going to do their usual good job and not
We like Telltale Games. Yes. Okay, so we think it's going to be safe. Excellent. Yeah. Zier Yug Elite. Perhaps Jumpgate Evo will be that game.
No, it won't.
The old Ultimate Play the Game, a.k.a. Rare Games. Head over heels. The Batman one.
Iridium.
Yeah, Iridium was one.
I think Iridium was Ultimate Play, right?
I don't know. Perhaps we're getting a bit mixed. Oh, we're just wallowing in spectrum.
I want to mention Iridium because it had brilliant graphics and a brilliant refresh rate. And yeah, it felt really good, very smooth. It felt way ahead of its ability of a Spectrum.
Hmm, interesting. Tepotastic, I love you guys.
That's just a comment from last week.
Oh, yeah. Ah, no, but he's pimping GOG because he finally was able to play and complete Hegemonia, Legions of Iron, a game I personally enjoyed an awful lot as well. It's like a sort of Homeworld light. It's a lot easier to control, but it's that sort of thing. You know, you've got sort of fixed coherent squads of spaceships moving about the big map. It's mostly on a 2D plane, but you can move them up and down. So if you found Homeworld a bit hectic, try Hegemonia instead. Actually, Temple of Apsshi trilogy would be nice. Nothing beats having to read badly printed folder for room descriptions. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Played that, eh?
Awesome. Badly printed folder. It reminds me a lot. Do you remember those books with program listings for adventure games? Oh, God, I can't even remember what they're called. There was two of them, and I've forgotten the names now.
There was more than two.
Was there?
Yeah.
And you had to basically type in a massive amount of source code into the Spectrum and then run it. And it was just this text-based adventure, and then you had to turn to the right page in the book to see the proper art to go with it. Those are brilliant. I don't think I ever had one work. I think they have shipped with bad listings, I don't know. And finally, Steve Melenkov, Cadaver by the Bitmap Brothers. I remember that. Isometric 3D. Is it 3D.5 or 3D? 5 very hard levels, plus 4 in the expansion. Varied gameplay and came on 1 floppy. Well, that was always very important back in those days. Yeah, I do remember the Bitmap Brothers stuff, actually. There's some great stuff there. Chaos Engine was another one. Gods. Very distinctive style. And, of course, Xenon 2. Xenon 1 as well, presumably. Yeah, some wonderful stuff there. I think these older games, the ones that really stand out and the ones that you remember well are the ones that... Well, there's two sorts. The ones that come up with a very simple gameplay that's easy to learn and difficult to master that you would just play again and again and again, which perhaps was training for your modern MMO.
Yeah.
But also the ones where they wanted to do so much and were stuck with a very limited functional machine. You know, I'm thinking of the later, very end-era Spectrum stuff, where they would just cram a ridiculous amount of gameplay into 48K, you know, when most graphics cards start coming with 1 or 2 gigabytes of RAM on them.
There's definitely something to be said about having to concentrate over gameplay rather than fleshiness. I think it's a lesson that we maybe have moved away from.
I think with those earlier platforms, you just didn't have the ability to make everything look fantastic or sound
although,
awesome.
If you do go back and play them, an awful lot of games now just cannot keep your attention and either way too hard or too repetitive.
So this means we've changed, I suppose, our expectations.
We've changed because our expectations have broadened with the games.
Yeah, I completely agree. We spoil ourselves with the modern games.
If when you were growing up the only toy you had was a stick, you'd think a stick was a good toy.
You'd think a stick was awesome, yeah. So some excellent wandering down memory lane there. Not terribly MMO related, but then well, it works.
I've decided we're now a multiplayer game. Podcast.
You're not changing your remit, aren't you?
Yeah, not an MMO. We're going to be multiplayer.
Multiplayer
game, because that means we can talk about. Although all those games, none of them are multiplayer.
We're whatever the hell we want to talk about. Podcast.
We are,
I think. Awesome.
Yes.
So, all right. What did we learn this week?
Oh, that's greatly unfair because I
haven't thought anything. I've learned this week, in fact I've learned during the show, that when you've got enough venom sacs they stop dropping.
Yes and I've learned that it's still great fun to be controlling minions.
Yes, of course, bit of Overlord 2 there. You've been playing. I saw you've been playing a bit of that. I think we'll definitely be talking about that next week.
Yes,
excellent. So on that note, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.